Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, and also a pastor of a church out here in the Elizabeth, Colorado area. And today we're going to talk about something very important, very near and dear, very basic to our ministry. In fact, one of the most startling statistics I have ever heard of was one shared by George Barna, who had visited a leadership conference several years ago, and we asked him the question if American born-again Christians were doing family worship, and he said only about 1 in 20 born-again families have even tried family worship. So this is something very, very rare in which families open the Word of God and read the Word of God on a daily basis with their children. Deuteronomy 6:7 reminds us to teach our children God's word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, and as we lie down. And indeed, Jesus also said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I like to ask families from time to time if they allow their children to go without a meal for, you know, a couple days, just 2, 3, 4 days, just starve them for 2 or 3 or 4 days. That's the kind of thing you do on a semi-regular basis. You know, we like to ask questions like this. Now, very few families will starve their children, thankfully. But then again, we want to ask, would you allow your children to go without the bread of God's word for 24 hours or 48, or maybe even 72 hours? Would you go for 72 hours without sharing the Word of God with your children? So it's important for us to ask these questions. You know, I also like to use the example of plants. If you don't water plants for, you know, 2, 3, 4 days or sometimes a week or two at a time, you'll find those plants will sort of wither. It turns out that plants need to be watered. This is something we've also learned as we have attempted to grow green stuff at our home. So again, my friends, do you water the plants or you just let them kind of dry out? So again, the water of the word and the food of the word of God is so important to our families. And we just need to remember this and bring this back as a value. Our daily life, our daily schedule in the Swanson family household usually involves about an hour of scripture, psalms, and prayer in the morning in our home. We would do that about 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. in the morning. And then in the evening time, typically after dinner, about 7:30 till about 9 p.m. for about an hour or an hour and a half at night, we'll do more scripture hymn singing around the piano. And then a time of prayer in which almost everybody prays. And the prayer time will go for sometimes 20, 25 minutes or so. Now, that's sort of a daily routine for us. And along with that, when we eat together, we share a meal together, we typically sing a hymn or a psalm before we ask God's blessing on the meal. So this is sort of the warp and the woof of the Swanson family life. And as families, I think we have to understand what we're facing as we're trying to counteract the godlessness of the day, in which God is very far away from the reality of most people. How do you counteract that? That's the question I think we need to come back to again and again. A secular post-Christian age, how do we counteract the power of the media, that is the alternate teachers and disciplers that want to disciple your children for 40, 50, 60 hours a week? How do you go up against that? How do you compete with that kind of thing? How do you counteract the massive apostasy in the millennial generation? And I would just suggest the age-old mandate from Deuteronomy 6. Again, these words, this is what God says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And that, my friends, is a word integrated, God integrated form of paideia or education for your children. It is a thoroughly integrated approach to bringing the Word of God into your children's lives. So that's the introduction. We're going to talk about how to do that on this edition of the program with Pastor Jeff Gleason from Cliffwood Presbyterian Church in Augusta, Georgia. We were just out there for a family conference and enjoyed a wonderful Southern hospitality with Pastor Gleason and his 11 children. So again, he joins us today on the Generations broadcast. Jeff has written a book called A Family Worship Guide to the Gospel of Luke. And by the way, we're going to give away 5 copies of this book, this Bible study guide, to anybody who emails into me at host@generations.org. The first five folks to email into me at host@generations.org will receive a free copy of this wonderful, new, hot off the press family worship guide called A Worship Guide to the Gospel of Luke. Well, Pastor Jeff Gleason now joins me on the Generations broadcast. Jeff, it's good to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
Wow. I was part of your family worship, Jeff. I was there. I was able to enjoy a time with your family as you shared the Word of God. Is that something you do every day?
We sure do. We do it on a daily basis. I think it's important to keep that routine in front of the kids. We usually do it at the supper time, at our evening meal. And we have a time of reading scripture, of singing psalms and hymns and prayer time. It's a great blessing. It's been a great blessing to me as a father. It's hopefully also been a blessing to my children as they grow in their love for the Lord.
Your children are ages from where to where?
My oldest is 24, and then my oldest two daughters are married. My oldest is 24, and then my 22-year-old daughter is married as well. And then I have nine at home, ranging. My oldest is 19, and then my youngest is 3 at home. So,
have you seen benefit, Jeff, of family worship in your children's lives? I mean, I know that's kind of a loaded question, but it's sort of hard to know, you know, one-to-one cause and effect. But I don't know. Stepping mm-hmm. back, can you see how the precept upon precept, day-to-day exercise of getting God's word into your children? And getting your children to God's word is beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. And you see it in different ways. And you won't see that benefit if you're doing family worship as a one-off, I don't think. Like, if you're very sporadic in what you do with family worship, I don't think you'll see that fruit as much as you will if it's a regular practice. But I'll give you a couple of examples of how I've seen growth and fruit in my children's lives. One of the benefits is you see it on kind of their understanding, on the understanding level, right? Mm-hmm. Christian faith, we have faith in an object or in something. We don't have faith in just an independent entity. And so we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God Almighty, who sent him, the Holy Spirit, who works his saving work in us. To work through that with your children helps them to understand who God is. And when they understand who God is, it shapes how they understand themselves, and they compare themselves to what God records in his word. So they see, one of the benefits you see is a proper understanding of the Lord God. And I think in family worship, what you have is the benefit of a dialogue, really, with your children. Mm-hmm. And the passage that you read at the beginning from Deuteronomy 6, it's a very organic description of what family life is like. And as a dad, you kind of teach your children as you go along in life. And I think family worship allows that more so than other places where they're taught God's word. For example, sermon, church life, very important, has to complement. Family and church have to complement each other. But when you're in a church setting, you're receiving God's word in a different way, in the sense of it's a declaration, and there's not that questioning back and forth, that kind of a didactic element. Mm-hmm. But in family worship, you can have that. So that's one way. And the other way I think that you see the benefit of family worship is by having your children observe you in your worship of God at home. Yeah. So they see what it means to pray to God. And so I see a tremendous fruit in terms of my children's prayer lives, where they pray. We will have a family worship lesson, and we will either deal with something about God's nature, or we'll deal with something that God requires of us as his people, a joyful duty that we have as his people. And what I've seen in the growth of my children as they've learned to pray, as they've heard mom and dad pray, they begin to incorporate the very theological elements that we've just talked about into their prayers. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they're going to do if you sit down on the first week of the year because you feel guilty and you've made a New Year's resolution or something like that, and then you leave it alone for the next 51 weeks. But as they observe you praying repeatedly, then they are able to see what it means to pray to God Almighty and to, in the best sense of the word, imitate Dad and his prayers, and imitate the proper biblical prayers as their model. So I would say those are kind of the two main ways where I've seen those benefits in my family. I'm sure there are many others that can be described.
It seems like your family sort of tracks our family in terms of ages, although my children are now 17 to 26 years of age. One of the things I've noticed when the older children is that they need to become more involved in family worship. I can't be the only guy, you know, leading family worship. So a number of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I began to open up a prayer time so that everybody could engage. Now, they would read scripture, but it seems to me when they combine into the prayer life of the family and they really begin to engage the scripture that we studied, and as you said, bring it into their prayers, there's just a much more spiritual growth that seems to happen in that dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely right, where you see not only do children make supplication of the Lord, which is kind of the easiest part of prayer. We're going to ask God for the things that we want, and so that's an easy part of prayer. But they also learn what it means to worship God in terms of just ascribing greatness to Him, or to confess sin even, or to give thanks to Him. I think those are all different ways where prayer is enriched, and you see that as they grow and mature in prayer. And to grow and mature in prayer, you have to give them a chance. You have to take the training wheels off, so to speak, at some point and let them pray.
Have you seen your basic approach to family worship change as the kids get older, Jeff?
I think so, but I think primarily that function of the change in family worship probably has had a lot to do with me changing as well.
Yeah.
As a father, I'm growing, and the Holy Spirit's working in my heart as well. So I think when I was a younger father and my children were younger, I spent more time kind of doing what I would call topical family worship. And certainly there's nothing wrong with doing topical family worship. I think it can be helpful and necessary in terms of letting children, addressing certain topics from God's Word. I think family worship lends itself to that. But I think I've migrated, so to speak, from an emphasis on that. I still do that from time to time. But I think my emphasis is more on just letting Scripture speak. And so what we typically do is we follow along the sermons that I've done morning and evening at Cliffwood. We rehearse those and different parts of it throughout the evenings of the week. And so that allows us to connect church and family, and it allows us to keep what was preached in front of us and kind of make sure that what was preached sunk in or was understood, which when you have a range of ages in your family, which I do, that's helpful, because I got a 16, almost 17-year-old young man who I want to see be ready to assume leadership in his home in the near future, if God would grant that to him. But I also have a 3-year-old son, and his questions are going to be much different than my 16, 17-year-old. And so by having a review of the sermons, I can make sure that whatever my 3-year-old heard that he resonates with, that we can in simple terms explain it to him, but then also our 16-year-old can impress on him the great truths of Scripture in a different way. And I just think family worship is perfectly situated to allow that kind of teaching.
And I think the back and forth conversation is so crucial, that they be able to ask questions and we can talk about it as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up and as we lie down. That conversation is so important. I remember my father telling me one time that his father, that is my grandfather, would read the Bible to them, but he said he just wouldn't disciple them. He didn't really disciple his children. And what I think my father meant by that was that he didn't engage in that back and forth conversation that's so crucial, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And that's, I think, important to stress when it comes to family worship is that the goal for family worship is discipleship. It's not to be good at family worship, whatever that means, right? I mean, our prayer as fathers in leading our families in worship is not, Lord, make me good at family worship, right? But it's, Lord, may our worship together be a sincere expression of our love for you. Uh-huh. And may I lead my children in that by your grace. And so you know, I think that's absolutely right. The discipleship has to be there. If you are doing family worship, in a sense, just going through the motion, you're really probably teaching your children more negative than positive, because your children will see it. Your children will see if this is not something that's important to you, if this is not something that has an impact on your life, well, why should it make a difference in my life? And so discipleship, that has to be the goal.
Which means draw personal application to yourself as well as to the children. The children need to find something meaningful in that text for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you're serious about reading the Word of God, those things come out at you and you can't avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the reality of God's Word. It's theological, yeah, but it's an intensely practical theology. I always say theology you can't do theology without it impacting how you live. It always impacts how you live. And so reading scripture for your little ones, for your kids that are somewhere in between, and for your kids who are about to leave your home and begin their own, there's going to be something in there for them that either confronts them with something that they should be doing, or that confronts us with our sin, or that shows us how things that are in the world are askew, or anything like that. But there will be something that shows them, this is going to make a difference in the next hours of my life, and from there on in.
Mm-hmm. You know, something I've been thinking about for a while, Jeff, is how the evangelical church in America came to believe that the basics of the Christian life is really to evangelize others. That is, you know, the one duty, the prime duty that marks the Christian is getting out there and evangelizing your neighbors. But, you know, as I consider it, it seems to me that exhorting one another daily, so long as it's called a day, and revisiting the apostles' doctrine and prayer on a daily basis, and family discipleship in God's Word, is really the warp and the woof of the Christian life. It seems to me that the evangelical church has sort of missed this. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think when you think about what we face in this world, when we're dealing with somebody who's not converted at the age of 40 or something like that, you know, there is tremendous blame that you can lay in different places. There's a reaction that we can make based on what we see around us, and we can see the urgency of evangelizing people who are unregenerate, certainly true. But at the same time, that's kind of a reactive step. And I think what we have in discipling our families and family worship, we're taking a proactive step. We're saying, we're laying the groundwork. We're setting up that stone that they can stand on, and that says, this is the solid ground. This is where you learn what's right and wrong, what's good and evil. And so in a sense, by God's grace, He has throughout time worked through the ministry of families and parents to bring about the change in a much more proactive way. I don't think that's something we should forget, and I don't think it's something we should shy away with. It doesn't mean that because we're serious about family worship that our children will necessarily be regenerate, but it does mean that God has set up as His order, as part of how He's ordered the world, this structure where mom and dad, especially fathers, take spiritual responsibility for the training up of their children in the hopes that God, by His grace, would work through that, setting the word, that what we believe to be means of grace, right? Ways that God communicates the benefits of redemption to His people. The word, prayer, we set that before our children, and in God and His grace brings many to Himself in that way. It's certainly been my experience in my family. My parents very faithful in conducting family worship, and I learned a tremendous amount from them. Some of it, of course, I didn't realize until later after I was in different circumstances, but they were faithful, and that's how God worked. He worked in my life through the teaching of my parents to bring me to Himself, and that's a glorious blessing. Like you said, we should never lose sight of that, and I think the church has lost sight of that.
And I can echo that as well. My parents were very, very faithful, my father especially, at teaching the Word of God each and every day, and now all six children, my siblings, serving God in some capacity somewhere around the world today, to this day, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, it seems to me that we've got to find some way to bring this back into the church, and I noticed your bulletin and your church emphasizes family worship, daily family worship. And I think churches all around the United States need to bring this in as a major emphasis for the church life. And I noticed that your church does this. But how do you encourage that regularity? It seems like, you know, families are busy. Families tend to miss family worship. They deprioritize it on a, you know, every other day basis or whatever. How do you get through these obstacles and encourage regularity for the families in your church?
Well, I think you do it in two ways. So the first way is the simplest one, really, and that's to remove the obstacle of I don't know what to do. And so that's what we've done in our bulletin. We provide just a very brief, really, sketch of that reviews part of the sermon, one of the sermons that was preached, and we provide some questions and some things for people to think about. So you're trying to remove the obstacle of I don't know what to do, and so that's part of it. But I think the other part, which is much more difficult, I mean, it's one thing just to type up a little blurb for the bulletin that can take you an hour. The more challenging part is to impress the urgency of the issue on the people of your church. And so you have to speak to them about it. You have to show them that they, as parents, have been given the responsibility to teach their children from God's Word in order that they would understand who God is and that they would understand what God requires of them. And if they're not doing that, they have to understand the failure of providing this spiritual nourishment, that, as you were talking about it at the beginning of the program, resonated with that so much, especially the plant thing, right? Where I try to grow plants, and if I don't feed them right, they die.
Yeah.
That's typically what happens. I don't feed them right, and so they die. Well, that's what happens in the souls of our children, right? When we don't feed them with God's Word, they wither, and it can cause spiritual death, just a lack of concern about the things of God. And so I think what you do as ministers is you repeatedly and with zeal and with grace and with open arms and with a desire to help, you set before your people, this is serious business, and you need to be about doing this kind of thing, not so that you can put something else on a list that you need to check off, but knowing that this is how we serve the Lord, and knowing that this He gives this to us for our good. This is how He grows us. And so I think those things are much more challenging than providing the lesson. But so I think there has to be a combination of the two. And of course, we do that as ministers. We do that on our knees before the Lord, knowing our own failures and knowing our own shortcomings as well.
Pastor Jeff Gleason from Cliffwood Presbyterian Church in Augusta with us on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. He's the author of a new family worship guide to the book of Luke, and I have a copy of it right in front of me. And this could be a wonderful guide to any family that's looking at getting started with this discipline and incorporating this very important, very fundamental element of the Christian life into their family life. And he provides an outline for the various chapters and pericopes of the book of Luke, and goes through family discussion questions for little children, for middle-aged children, for the older kids, and then some suggestions on family singing for hymns and psalms, and then some things to pray about as well as it ties into each of the individual chapters of the book of Luke. So this is a family worship guide to the book of Luke, authored by Jeff Gleason, our guest on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. And for anybody who would like a copy of the free copy of this, we just like to encourage families out there to family worship, and we'd like to provide five complimentary copies to the first five people that email me at host@generations.org. So if you email me at host@generations.org and ask for the family worship guide, we will mail out a free copy of this study guide to your family. So again, the email address is host@generations.org to reach myself, Kevin Swanson, and we will turn that over to our shipping manager, which happens to be my daughter, Abigail Swanson, who will send out five free copies of Jeff's new book. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Any last comments just to encourage the folks to this vital, vital area of family worship?
Yeah, just in closing, I guess I would just say don't give up. Right? If you find yourself stumbling in this area and you've not been faithful in the practice, just pick it up again. I mean, it doesn't just because you failed for 1 week doesn't mean you have to fail for 2 weeks. So ask the Lord to bless your family and then lead, Dad. Lead and do that work, and you'll see fruit and benefit in your life. I think it'll be beautiful for you to see it. So just leave you with that.
I like to say, just plant the seeds in water and water and water. And don't look up, just keep on watering and of course praying, and you'll find that over the years God blesses the farmer, and God brings forth the harvest, and we give him the glory for that. So that's what we're looking forward to as parents, as we attempt to raise our children in the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's been Pastor Jeff Gleason on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. And this is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.